John chapter 2, we're going to continue on in that same vein that we were looking at the miracles that John reports in his book of Jesus that point to Jesus being the Messiah. And this morning we're going to look at and talk about zeal for the Lord. In case you didn't catch that when I was talking with the kids about zeal. And no, you can't have any of the bands. But zeal. What is zeal? John chapter 2, verses 12 through to 22. Let's read those. After this, Jesus went down to Capernaum together with his mother, his brothers, and the disciples, and they stayed there only a few days. The Jewish Passover was near, so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple complex, he found people selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and he also found the money changers sitting there. After making a whip out of cords, he drove everyone out of the temple complex with their sheep and oxen. He also poured out the money changers' coins and overturned the tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." And his disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews replied to him, "What sign of authority will you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered, "Destroy the sanctuary, and I will raise it up in 3 days." Therefore the Jews said, "This sanctuary took 46 years to build, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the sanctuary of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the statement Jesus had made. May the Lord add blessing to the reading and receiving his word this morning. The temple complex and where the money changers and the people selling their goods was in the Gentile area. The Gentile area where the Gentiles who chose to believe in the God of the Jews, that was to be their place to worship. Well, you don't matter. You're not really of the house of Israel, so we're going to make it difficult for you. You're kind of less than everybody else. So maybe consider yourself lucky that you have a place to worship at all. Kind of might have been the attitude that the Jews had toward the Gentiles. But there had been such a commotion and such a marketplace developed that the money changers, when you came to offer your sacrifices, you had to actually change your money to the temple token and then had to buy your goods. So your birds or whatever you were going to offer. So it was a way for the Jewish religious authorities as well as the money changers to make a good profit off of people who were instructed by the law that they had to come and worship. So they had a good thing going. Jesus comes along, and he's aware of this, and he cleans out the Gentile court from head to toe. It's one of the few moments that we see what of Jesus? Anger. Righteous anger. I used to believe when I became a Christian that Christians were not to get angry. Because if you're not angry, if you were angry, you were not walking in the Lord. Well, my pastor friend corrected me on that. Because he said, Christians are not to be doormats. Just because you love Jesus and you know Jesus and you have a love for your fellow man or woman that they're made in the image of God doesn't mean that people can walk all over you. Jesus shows us in this incident that he did not allow those that called his Father God to walk all over him. And the place that was set aside for his place, his temple, his courts. It's called zeal. Jesus had zeal. He was passionate about his Father and about the things of the Father. Dr. A.B. Simpson, how many of you know who that is? He's the founder of our denomination. Dr. A.B. Simpson was a zealot for the deeper life ideal. His concept of the deeper life was based on his understanding of the incarnation, when God became flesh in Jesus and man became one with God. One's whole life is to be a pursuit of becoming one with God through a belief, a trust, and a following of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus prays that this deeper life truth would become evident in our lives. John 17, 21 to 23. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The deeper life is what Dr. A.B. Simpson's ideal, his dream was for the Alliance. That it would be a group of people that were so passionately zealot over Jesus and the things of Jesus, that we would be so united that we would become a movement of people, of churches, that would share the love of God no matter where, anytime, anywhere, any place. This was the passion of Dr. A.B. Simpson. It is the roots of our denomination. What Jesus is praying for and what Dr. A.B. Simpson came to understand was that Jesus was praying that we would become little incarnations of himself in the world. Little incarnations of Jesus in the world. Days of Heaven and Earth, Monday, May 7th, 2018. Readings by A.B. Simpson. He states this: yes, a real Christian will honestly be able to demonstrate by their speech and actions that if you have seen me, you have seen Jesus Christ. Is that our ideal? That if they've seen you, if they meet me, they have met Jesus Christ. Are we being little incarnations of Jesus in our world? Are we walking in the deeper life? If we are actively pursuing to be incarnations of Jesus in the world, we are actively seeking to be incarnations of God in this world. This is what we are called to be. This is the deeper life, living in and as God's presence in our world today. This, I would say to you, is a present-day sign of Jesus. It's a miracle that someone who would be the embodiment of God today, caring for, loving, being, creating, and doing all that God would do, be, and is. Would you not agree to find a person who is this 100% of the time would be a living miracle? 100% of the time. This is who Jesus is. John, in his gospel account, declares the cleansing of the temple as a miracle, a sign of God. Why does John declare the temple cleansing as a miracle and or a sign of God? Does it fit our idea of a miracle or sign of Jesus? Is the miracle the sign that Jesus cleansed the temple of corruption or that someone would dare to do so? As Jesus drove the oxen and sheep, turning over the money changers' tables and pouring their coins on the ground, he is asked by, "What sign of authority will you show us for doing these things?" Who would dare? The fact that someone would be crazy enough to fashion a whip and have the gumption to upset and drive out all that had been given permission to be there by the religious authorities must beg the question, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Why such anger? Why such passion? Why such hostility? Why such zeal? Psalm 69:8-9. I have become a stranger to my brothers and a foreigner to my mother's sons, because zeal for your house has consumed me, and the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. What is the mark of conviction? What is the mark of ownership? What is the mark of care? Zeal. What is zeal? In the New Testament, the word zealous could be defined as excellence. What one does not have, one seeks to supply oneself with. It can also be defined as jealousy and bitter envy. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the equivalent is kina, meaning ardent zeal. Also, jealousy, envy, ardor, anger, and indignation. But I think the best biblical definition of zeal is this. It's found in the Song of Solomon 8, verses 6 to 7. And it says this: "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. It flashes or flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If one offered for love all the wealth of one's house, it would be utterly scorned." Zeal is that which is as strong as death and as fierce as the grave. That's what zeal is. Do we know Jesus in this way? Are we passionate for the things of God in this way? How about the Word of God? How do we get to know Jesus? By having a zeal for the Word of God that is as strong as death and as fierce as the grave. You can only get to know Jesus as you immerse yourself in His Word, in His teachings, in His love, in His walk, in His heart. How zealous can one be with spending 5 minutes a day with Jesus? How can you clearly know the Father's heart if His will is not hidden in our hearts? What is David's encouragement to us? Psalm 119:11. "I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." A zeal for the Word of God leads us to a resolution to not sin against God, because then because we then know what brings Him disgrace and displeasure. For the marrieds in our family, what brings your spouse to displeasure? What is discouraging to them? What brings them disgrace? How do you know this? Because you're invested in your spouse and you spend time with them. Would you only bring them harm? No, because you love them and you know them. Hopefully we have a love and a zeal for them stronger than death and fiercer than the grave. What about your mother or your father? Would you choose to disgrace them or dishonor them? I guess it would depend on if you love them or not, if you respect them or not. If they invested in you, spent time with you, and loved you. Today there's a lot of zeal missing between moms and dads and children. Why? I believe it's because we've mixed up our priorities as parents. It leads to physical abuse emotionally and spiritually of our children. How can we expect mixed up parents to bring up healthy children if the parents are not healthy? Now we have schools and governments taking parental responsibilities out of the hands of parents because parents have been giving up the priority of their kids for years. What is the cause? A lost zeal for God and the things of God. The thing is, Satan is more zealous about deceiving and destroying you and me than we are zealous about God and the things of God. Why did Israel go wayward so many times from God? Because their zeal for God and the things of God was far weaker than the zealousness of Satan. Satan is consumed with destroying and perverting the image of God and all that God has created. Everything. The Bible says Satan was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And from the beginning he has been all about sinning and causing our destruction, killing our zeal and stealing our love. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of liars. 1 John 3:8, the one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. John 10:10, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. One's zeal for God is always tested by the zeal of Satan. Always. Is my zeal for God stronger than Satan's zeal for me? James gives us some sobering advice and the way to victory over Satan. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To submit to God means to give in to his word, his ways, and his will. How are we doing in submitting to God? To know the Father is to know Jesus, which means living in loving submission to Jesus. He who loves Jesus loves God, and he who submits to Jesus submits to God. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Good question for us. When is the last time we have confessed and witnessed to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God outside of church? When is the last time we have witnessed to the love of Jesus outside the church walls? To fail to witness to our love of Jesus and his truth is to fail to resist the devil, to destroy his work, and to submit to God. It is to stand with a silent majority. Jesus stated his purpose for coming to the earth. What was it? John 18:37. Standing before Pilate, Pilate says, "You are a king then. You say that I'm a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this, And I've come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Is our zeal for Jesus and his voice greater than Satan's zeal for us? To be in a living relationship with Jesus is to have a zeal for his purpose, to testify to the truth. What is that truth? That Jesus is the Son of God who came, being very God, to testify to the truth. That God loves man, created man, and has died to redeem man through the Son, Jesus Christ, because man lives under the wrath of God, disobeying God and bringing sin and death into the world. Without being born again unto God through belief in Jesus, repentance from sin, one will not be forgiven and therefore subject to eternal torment in an eternal hell, separated from the eternal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, being one God who has an eternal life for all who would believe upon Jesus Christ and follow him. This is the truth. This is the witness. This is the testimony of Jesus. This is what Jesus is zealous about. His love for his Father, his will, his work, and his word. And we are to be zealous about the same things if we are proclaiming to believe and follow Jesus. Is our zeal for Jesus and the truth of Jesus greater than Satan's zeal for us? Does it consume us? The word consume means to eat, swallow, or devour. Does Jesus and the truth of Jesus devour our souls, our hearts, and our very being? King Jehu was anointed king over Israel by the prophet Elisha as instructed by God. He was the son of Nimshi and a commander in King Joram's army, the son of King Jehoshaphat and his successor. King Jehoshaphat did what was right in the sight of the Lord, having completed the work of his father, King Asa, in eliminating the male cult prostitutes in Judah. But King Jehoshaphat did not dismantle the high places or the country shrines where the people sacrificed and burned incense to other gods. King Jehoshaphat signed an alliance with King Ahab of Israel, and he endorsed the marriage of his son Jehoram to who? Ahab's daughter, Athaliah, who was who? The daughter of Queen Jezebel. Jezebel, as we know, was the infamous wife of King Ahab, who fostered the worship of the Canaanite fertility deities, had 450 of Baal and 400 prophets of the goddess Asherah sit at the royal table, and ruthlessly prosecuted and persecuted the prophets of God. Most famously, she conceived the plot and death of Naboth, the Jezreelite, so that her husband, King Ahab, could obtain Naboth's vineyard and plant a vegetable garden. Jehu was anointed king for one reason, to destroy the line and legacy of King Ahab, including Queen Jezebel, for the prophets and servants of the Lord who perished under their rule. 2 Kings 9:7. You are to strike down the house of your master Ahab so that I may avenge the blood shed by the hand of Jezebel, the blood of my servants, the prophets, and of all the servants of the Lord. So King Jehu takes vengeance upon Jehoram, the king of Israel, King Ahab's son, killing him on the ground of Naboth the Jezreelite's vineyard. King Ahaziah of Judah is also slain because of his association with King Joram. Queen Mother Jezebel meets her death as Jehu orders those loyal to him to throw her down out of the window before him. And Jehu rides over her broken and bleeding body and proceeds to go eat and drink. What is it of King Jehu that should catch our attention? It's his zeal for the Lord and the things of the Lord. He again is a Messiah-type figure taking vengeance for the Lord's prophets and servants. He takes his anointing and instructions seriously. There is no waiting, no delay for Jehu. He does what needs and is ordered to be done immediately. Jehu's zeal is stronger than death and passion greater than the grave. Jehu ruled for 28 years. How do we respond to the Lord's commands, his will, his love? What was Jehu's motivation? To fulfill God's instruction, to be pleasing to the Lord. 2 Kings 9:36. So they went back and told him, and he said, "This fulfills the Lord's word that he spoke through his servant Elisha the Tishbite. In the plot of land at Jezreel, the dogs will eat Jezebel's flesh." Jehu had every intention to bury Queen Jezebel's body. But the servants went and saw that by the time they went to go get her, there was nothing left but bones. Affirming Jehonadab's allegiance, King Jehu then pulls up in his chariot and says to him, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So he let him ride with him in his chariot. King Jehu strikes down all the remaining in the house of Ahab, all of King Amaziah's relatives, all the servants of Baal and its worshipers, and destroys the temple and the pillars to Baal. He personally eliminates all Baal worship from Israel and turns its temple site into a latrine. He cleanses Israel, the temple of God, from the corruption of its rulers, priests, prophets, and people, much like Jesus did and like Jesus would have for us today. The church must remain pure and holy. There is no room for a false gospel that denies the deity and the humanity of Christ Jesus and his word. There is no place for social justice theory that is not biblical justice. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. There are only two genders, male and female, as God created and the Bible records, having been set forth in the Garden of Eden, and we're told to multiply and exercise dominion over the earth. There's no middle ground with God and his word. There's no trans kind, only Satan's deception, destruction, and perversion of God's creation and created order. Child sacrifice was not condoned by God in the days recorded in the Bible, and he does not condone it today. God is the same today as yesterday as he will be tomorrow. The church must remain pure and holy with a zeal stronger than death and passion fiercer than the grave. Our calling is not to vengeance. Our calling is to truth, the truth of God, and we will only be faithful to our calling if we are zealous for Jesus and his truth. What does the Apostle Paul instruct in our living towards our enemies? Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for his wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance belongs to me. I will repay," says the Lord. Zeal for Jesus and his truth is a sign to the world that we believe Jesus is the Messiah. Amen? Do I truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah to come? Then my zeal for him should be a reflection to the world. Is my zeal to be one with him? This is the deeper life, and it is only ignited and sustained by a zeal for the Lord Jesus, his ways, his will, and his word. Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Amen.